With so much history and beauty, deciding where to go and what to see in Greece can be overwhelming. I'm Jill Najoe, and this is the Ideas Network. To help you figure it all out, we have two travel experts with us today. Back with us is Carrie Mulliken. She is president of Bon Voyage World Travel Experts in Waterford and Union Grove. And with her is Mina Agnos. She's the founder and group president of Travel Life. She is listed in Travel and Leisure's A list of world's top travel agents and is one of Condé Nast magazine's top travel specialist. And both guests have lots of experience traveling in Greece, so now is your chance to ask questions. Join in 800-642-1234 or send us an email, ideas@wpr.org. Ladies, thank you so much for being with us today.
Thanks for having us. It's great to be here.
Thank you. Yes.
Excellent. Well, Mina, tell us about your business.
So I work with travel advisors like Carrie and companies kind of across the U.S. with clients who are coming to Greece. My base of operation is in Athens, and my job in effect is to work with advisors to make these dream trips come true all over Greece and the Mediterranean.
And I have to say, she's sitting in front of a, and it's a fake background, but it looks beautiful because it is Greece and it's so blue. So thank you for giving me a peek at that. So Carrie, how do you then, your business, work with Mina's?
So what's really wonderful with working with a trusted travel advisor is that we have partner relationships around the world. So we're not planning trips from one location with no access to assistance and guidance in destination. That's one of the very valuable benefits of working with a trusted travel advisor.
So Carrie, what are some of the maybe misconceptions that your travelers may have before they, you know, when they're planning to go to Greece?
Greece is an interesting destination because it also encompasses the Greek islands. And so many times people will want to spend some time in Greece, not necessarily understanding that Santorini and Mykonos are islands.
Yeah, that makes sense. I guess I would understand that. Mina, have you found that to be the case too?
You know, what I find is that because of the size of Greece, people don't realize kind of the logistics of getting around and kind of what ferry travel requires and even how long it takes, which isn't long. But still, if you're flying to a place like Mykonos or Santorini, it's a 45-minute to an hour flight. Well, there are a lot of logistics that are included. So, yes, I do find that.
I would imagine. Mina, there's, like you said, there's so many places to visit. How do you help people to, you know, get them down to manageable bites? Because most of us aren't going to have 3 months to travel. It's going to be hopefully a couple of weeks. So how do you do that?
What we really like to do is get a good feel for what the interests are and the personality profile of each client who's going to be traveling. Because, you know, while we hear Mykonos, Santorini, very famous islands, really well known across the world, they're not necessarily the right destinations for everyone. I know that Randa brought up Crete and the Sporadic Islands. You know, all of them have a completely different feel and a very different atmosphere. So having a good idea of who that client is, what they're interested in, what kind of foods they like, what kind of things they like to do at home, that really helps us narrow down the right options and make sure that they're going to the places that are going to give them kind of the most personal benefit.
Mm-hmm. You kind of do the same thing, Carrie, when you're helping someone decide where they want to go?
Absolutely. We love to get to know our clients because the dream trip for one client isn't necessarily the dream trip for the next client. So it's really about planning a unique itinerary that is exciting for them.
So we know that Greece can be very hot at some times of the year, can also be very busy in some parts. When do you say is the best time for maybe us here in Wisconsin to visit? Carrie, why don't you start?
Sure. So I think Greece has very much a season, just like we have seasons here in terms of, you know, places that will be open and ease of travel and availability of tours and things when you're there. So, you know, obviously our summer is a prime time for Wisconsinites to want to travel, and it matches that with Greece, although it is very hot. I generally recommend more of a shoulder season type. So, you know, either our spring or our fall. Mm-hmm. That way you avoid the crowd, you avoid some of the heat. We'll see what Mina has to say in regards to that.
Do you agree, Mina?
I would agree. I mean, I think depending on where you want to visit, April to kind of end of October is the ideal time. Some of the islands have seasons from kind of May to October-ish. But, you know, you do have off-season options as well. Like our harvest season is in November. So for people interested in wines or olive oil, that's a really great time to be traveling. It's a great time for kind of farm-to-table cooking classes, lots of classical sites. And, you know, when you're not having the heat, it's kind of a really great time to enjoy those things. And it's also when Wisconsin is starting to either get really cold in the fall or starting to, you know, lose the cold in the spring.
Right, exactly. I think we're all thinking the exact same thing because it's getting kind of cold here now.
Yes.
So what are we talking about temperature-wise? I mean, how do they vary per season?
We tend to have pretty mild weather in the winter. So, well, the summertime, it tends to get quite warm. You know, we can have temperatures in the, you know, 90s, 100s, low 100s. But on the islands, you don't really feel it. It's really in the cities where it becomes very unbearable. In the winter or off season, you know, we're kind of in the 60s. Our wintertime weather is typically lower 50s. You know, we don't get a lot of snow unless you're up in the mountains. So you really can enjoy parts of Greece all year.
Uh-huh. So, Carrie, do you have people that prefer to go in the wintertime, our winter?
I think, you know, Wisconsin, a lot of times people plan in the winter or they're looking for a fun and sun type destination. So they might want to do something that offers more of a coastal view. So the islands might be a great opportunity, just depending on what activities they want to do when they're there.
What do you suggest that people pack? Carrie?
Good walking shoes.
Good walking shoes.
Very, very good walking shoes. That's probably the most important.
Oh, that for sure. Are we going to go, I mean, if you're in the cities, is it going to be a more dressed up kind of a thing and the islands a lot more casual? Is that how it kind of plays out? Mina?
Generally, that's true. Yeah, generally that is true, especially in parts of Athens where you have kind of more high-end restaurants and things like that. But it really depends on the destinations. There are many places you can go where it's island life, and island life is generally very casual. Mm-hmm. You know, others like Mykonos is a destination that's much more jet set. So there you see people getting, you know, really decked out in their designer gowns, you know, to go to, you know, dinners and nightlife. So it really kind of is a mix. But in general, Greece is a more casual kind of destination where you can just kind of dress summer chic.
Mm-hmm. Is that what you've kind of seen too, Carrie?
I would agree, yes. You know, what's popular these days on Instagram are the photo shoots in, like, Santorini with the whitewashed buildings behind and these beautiful women's flowing dresses, and that's always fun to see those pictures. But really, you know, the activity of the day is just enjoying the wonderful cuisine, like we've learned about in the previous half hour, and then fabulous wines, and just having conversation, enjoying those that you're with.
Mm-hmm. So what would you suggest would be the highlights of visiting Greece, Mina?
I can go based on the numbers of what we've seen this year. We find that about 80% of the travelers to Greece will make a stopover in Athens. Athens, I would say, and I'm sure Rena would agree with me, it's not just a stopover anymore. It's a really cosmopolitan city where you've got a great food scene, great art, great local culture, museums, and history. Our most popular island is Santorini, always the top of the list. There, around 60% of the travelers to Greece will visit Santorini. After that, kind of Mykonos and Paros, they fight for that third place in terms of the Cypriot islands. Mykonos is very jet set, where Paros is kind of a more chic, authentic version of that. So for clients looking for a more Greek experience, Paros is a great option. And Crete continues to be one of our top selling islands, which is a larger island. You've got a lot of rich local culture there, great foods, great wines, olive oil production there. So it is one of the places where you can get, you know, really great authentic feel of Greece and enjoy the sea and the city life.
Carrie, what about people who really don't want more authentic, like we were talking about, maybe non-touristy spots? What suggestions do you have for them?
I think sometimes you can consider going to what would be technically a tourist destination, but find beautiful properties that are kind of off the beaten path and maybe on a different side of the island that are less commercialized. You can pop into the more touristy for a day, but then go and retreat in the evening and not have all of the tourist type activities.
So that totally makes sense. So you're close but away at the same time. What about, you know, like you said, there's so many islands. Other than the ones that we've talked about, do you have some favorites, Mina?
I have lots of favorites. It's almost like picking your favorite child, right? Each one's great for something. So the Ionian Islands have been quite high on my radar recently. Corfu, I love. It's a place you can visit year round, connects really easily with a lot of spots on the mainland. And it's the first place where we had a university in Greece. So, you know, the music and the culture and the art scene is very, very deep there. So that's a great option. Patmos is one that's very mythical. It falls a lot of times on the St. John's track or the footsteps of St. Paul, where you have people looking kind of for a religious pilgrimage. There's a cave there where they say one of the Gospels was written. So it's a really special place, but it's also a stunning island that's a little more difficult to get to and quite mystical. So very pretty. And then, you know, when we talk about wellness and food in Korea, we have to add Blue Zone. Fantastic place. My great grandmother was from there. She lived to be 104.
Oh my gosh. That's wonderful. I love it. It's got to be the food.
Yes.
Carrie, do you
going to say the olive oil or the wine. It had to be.
That too.
That's food, Carrie. We like to think of it that way anyway. Do you have a little hidden island that you kind of like to visit?
I just like to get off the beaten path a little bit and just explore more than one destination. I always enjoy exploring places I've never been before. I think that's part of the magical sense of travel, is to just always do something new.
Absolutely. Well, on that note, we're going to be winding up and taking a little tiny break. We've been talking with Mina Agnos. She is founder and group president of Travel Live, and Carrie Mulliken. She's president of Bon Voyage World Travel Experts in Waterford and Union Grove. Have you traveled to Greece? Why don't you call in? Tell us about your experience. The number is 800-642-1234. And we'll be back to talk more about Greece after this look at the news. This is the Larry Mueller Show. I'm Jill Nadeau, and we're talking about traveling to Greece today. Our guests are Carrie Mulliken, president of Bon Voyage World Travel Experts in Waterford and Union Grove, and Mina Agnos, founder and group president of Travel Live. What would you like to know before vacationing in Greece? Give us a call, 800-642-1234, or send an email to ideas@wpr.org. So before we went to the break, we were talking a little bit about some of the highlights. But how do you, Carrie, how do you help somebody make an itinerary? What kind of questions do you ask?
Pretty much what their preferences are in terms of previous travel. You know, we can learn a lot from knowing what someone's done previously and where they've stayed. You know, what's on their, I call, living list. You know, what do they want to do? What makes them feel alive? And then, you know, what type of travel are they interested in? You can do Greece via hotels and tours and maybe spend different nights in different locations, or you can do things where maybe you go into Athens and you spend a couple nights in a hotel, tour Athens, and then maybe board a cruise ship and see multiple islands, allowing you to see places like Santorini and Mykonos and Crete, a few that we've talked about today, without having to pack and unpack between the different destinations. So there's a variety of ways to see Greece, and it's our job, or a travel advisor's job, to really do a great conversation with our clients so that we learn what's important to them, so that we knock it out of the park the first time around.
Because it's nothing worse than planning a vacation yourself and just realizing that you did everything wrong. It is really disappointing. So very important to know what you're doing before you book. What can you tell us about the transportation options, Mina? How do people get from place to place?
Lots of options. You know, like I said, Greece is the size of Alabama, but it's not as easy to navigate. We have ferries, we have flights, and then we have some clients that do kind of private speedboats, or they might book a helicopter. I don't recommend taking any kind of rail in Greece because we just don't have a good rail network. But, you know, those are the ways that most people get around. And then, of course, if you're traveling in the Peloponnese or on the mainland, by car.
And as far as English goes, I mean, is it going to be difficult for people to understand the signs, you know, brochures, that kind of a thing? Mina?
No, everything is in English throughout. So all signs will have Greek and English. English is very, very widely spoken and a very good level of English. A lot of our team in Greece who grew up in Greece, including my kids who grew up there, they speak English with an American accent. You know, they grew up with American television, American music, and you have to speak a good level of English in order to graduate high school now. So there are no issues with traveling unless you're going somewhere really obscure to a tiny village where everyone is over 60. You won't have any issues at all.
Oh, that's good. Is that your experience too, Carrie?
Absolutely, yes.
Mm-hmm. That's always good to know. But is it nice to have a little smattering of Greek at least before you go?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's so well respected to have that. And so many people love the effort, especially since Greek is a hard language. You know, and you definitely don't need them. And I find a lot of times, even when you're learning Greek and you speak it, a lot of Greeks really like to practice their English with you, but they really appreciate your effort in trying some of those, you know, the Greek words.
Well, that's great to know. What about money? Now, we're talking euros, I'm assuming, right? Is it better to have cash? Is a credit card a good thing? What's your experience been, Carrie?
So with a credit card, you would want to make sure that you talk with your provider to make sure that you don't have additional charges other than just an international exchange rate. I always suggest traveling with a couple hundred dollars to start, at least of euro. And if you decide that you need more, you can always go to an ATM and use your ATM card and get more cash. But you definitely want to go with a good, you know, good starting amount of euro anytime you go out of the country.
Mm-hmm. What about places to stay? We had mentioned a little bit before. What are the ranges? I mean, I'm sure we've got some really expensive hotels. And how does that work, Mina? What do we have for that?
So you have a full range. I mean, everything from hostel to 4-star, 5-star accommodations, and you have cruise ships, yachts, and villas. So there truly is something for every single price point. I would just say that, you know, when you are looking at some of that lower cost hotels or even Airbnbs, location is really, really important because you can get into some areas, especially in the cities, that are not going to be as desirable and where I wouldn't want to stay. And a guy might not want to meet you. So yeah, that's something to consider. So, I mean, I would say regardless, working with a specialist is going to give you the best results.
Have you found that, Carrie, where people maybe have gotten into trouble staying in spots where it probably wasn't a good idea?
It makes it more difficult, especially for transportation of tours. You know, if you're signed up to do an excursion and you're in an, you know, kind of an off the beaten path area, you just need to recognize the time or the dollars that it will take you to get to a meeting point.
Mm-hmm. That makes sense. Now, when people are visiting some of the smaller islands, is it usually a day trip or do they stay on the island a lot of the times? Mina?
Both.
Both. Okay.
Both. I mean, there are plenty that you can visit as a day trip, but I think that, you know, unless you're cruising, you're going to get so much more out of staying on land than you will just kind of going over for a day.
Mm-hmm. And one of the things I think that obviously Greece has been in the news this last year because of the wildfires. What's the status on that, Mina?
Right now, we're kind of past the wildfire season, so we're in a good place. And while we have them every year, and this year they did get a little out of control, it didn't get to the point where it infected tourism from U.S. markets. Most of the regions just weren't areas that a lot of Americans travel to. So, yeah, it was bad, but we are in the clear now.
Okay, great. Well, that's good news. We've all had the problems with wildfires, unfortunately.
Yes.
Carrie, did you have anybody that was traveling at that time that ran into any problems?
We did not.
Oh, well, that's good. That's good. Does that stop people from traveling because they've heard these things on the news? Have you noticed that, Carrie?
I think it does. I think what's more important is to really understand demographics. You know, sometimes, you know, something might occur in a country and people have fear of going to that country, where it would be like saying something happened in Washington, D.C. today, so I'm not going to leave my Waterford, Wisconsin home. And so understanding mileage and demographics and geography is really, really important. And that is why it is so important to use a trusted travel advisor. You know, Mina alluded a little bit earlier about logistics. So there's a lot of logistics to traveling, especially when you're involving tours and accommodations and ferries and flights. And you don't know what you don't know, which I've said before. So that's a repeated phrase from me on this show. And definitely worth doing your homework with an advisor.
It's nice to have a backup. Someplace that you can call. That's always a great thing. So Mina, obviously Greek is just overflowing with history. What are some of the historic sites that really should be seen if you're going to go visit Greece?
I think that everyone needs to come to Athens. The Acropolis and the museum should be on everybody's to-do list. There are a lot of regions. We have so many UNESCO sites kind of across the country. One of my favorite places that I love to see people visit is Meteora. It's in kind of northern Greece. It's about a 5-hour drive from Athens, around 2 hours from Thessaloniki. Combines really well as an overnight trip with Delphi. But this is an area that is stunning. It's a religious center where you have these monasteries put on top of these limestone cliffs. In past days, you used to have to be pulled up in baskets. Now there are stairs and bridges so that you can visit them. But it's such a unique landscape, a really unique site of Greece, that it's something that a lot of people just don't consider they would find in a country like Greece.
I happened to, when I was doing research for this interview, when I was looking for pictures, that one popped up, and I had no idea that was even there in Greece. So yeah, there's a lot of hidden treasures, aren't there?
Definitely.
Mm-hmm. What about you, Carrie? Are there some spots, historic spots, that you would highly recommend?
I would agree with what Mina had to say. I think you need to definitely spend some time in Athens, although it tends to be, more populated than other areas, depending on when you go, that is. I think that it's just important that you really do some exploring of history. It brought us to where we are today. So I think you have to pay your due diligence to experience it.
Mm-hmm, absolutely. Have you traveled to Greece? Are you thinking of traveling to Greece? We'd love to hear from you today. Our number is 800-642-1234. Phones have been kind of quiet today. I'm not quite sure why, but we would love to hear from you. So give us a call, or you can send an email too. So ideas@wpr.org. As far as flying, is Athens the place to go to fly into, or are there other options, Carrie?
Athens tends to be the most, easiest to get to, most availability of potential nonstop flights. So it's a good landing spot. And then from there, you can transfer to so many other places.
Mm-hmm. And are usually the direct flights from Chicago, New York, or do we have something like from Milwaukee?
Not from Milwaukee on nonstop flights, so more Chicago O'Hare.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, that makes sense. What are the cost of an airline ticket these days? Have you booked anything?
It very much depends on the season, advance notice, and I would say probably from Chicago O'Hare area, you could budget within the $1,200 to $1,500 round trip for an economy class ticket. But there are times that we see air as low as $800. So it really just depends on advance notice and, some of those other variables.
I suppose if you don't do nonstop, you probably can get down a little bit lower than that. Carrie? Oh, I think we might have lost Carrie there for a second. What about you, Mina? Are you familiar with that at all?
Yeah, I think that you do have a lot of options that can take you kind of through Europe where you typically can get lower price points. Greece also has 8 international airports other than Athens that don't connect to the U.S. but do connect with spots in Europe. So they're really convenient for flying in and out of islands if you don't live in a major hub that would have flights to, say, London.
Okay, yeah, that makes sense. Now, I had heard about something called an open jaw flight, which I'd never heard the term before, but I thought it was quite interesting. Carrie, are you familiar with it? Can you explain it, what that is? Oh, no, I'm sorry, we can't hear you, Carrie. Mina, what about you? Are you familiar with open jaw?
I used to be a really big fan of these.
Yeah, used to
university.
Be?
Yes. Well, they're very expensive now. So I typically would fly one way as opposed to open jaw now. But an open jaw is, in effect, a ticket where you can go and come back or not have a set return time where you can decide at a later date when you want to return.
And from where, right?
Yes.
Okay. We do have a call from Gail in Madison. She has some comments. Hi, Gail. Go right ahead.
Hello. I just got back from Greece, so it was fun to hear you talking about going to Greece when I turned on the radio a few minutes ago.
Wonderful. What were your favorite parts?
I got a multi-antiquities pass for 30 euros, and you could go to the ancient Agora and the Roman Agora and the Parthenon and all sorts of places. And I enjoyed watching the turtles wandering around among the stones at the Roman Agora.
Turtles? I never heard about turtles. I love it.
But the reason I called is there was a really cool museum about ancient Greek science, and they had various demonstrations of how if you built a fire in this particular spot, it would warm something up and make the doors of a temple open, like it was accepting your offering. There was the world's first vending machine where you could put in a coin and it would dispense a little vial of holy water. You had to put your vial under there and it would pour out some water, and it was just a balance thing that rocked back and forth and poured out the water. And, you know, they had the Archimedes screw and the, various other better known technological items.
Mm-hmm.
I also, in addition to the Acropolis Museum, I went to the Antiquities Museum, and they had a thing that helped you tell where the stars were and put in back time that had been found on a shipwreck about 120 years ago. And that was cool, too.
Mm-hmm. Amazing. And did you enjoy the weather?
The weather was very nice. I went to the Muslim Art Museum. Lots of interesting things to do.
It sounds like it. Well, thank you so much, Gail, for calling in. We really appreciate that. And I think we're going to try to get Carrie back, but we're getting close towards the end. But why don't you tell us a little bit, Mina, about some of the other countries that your company does business with besides Greece?
So we work kind of along across the Mediterranean, and Carrie is definitely the person that can help with really the entire region. So mm-hmm. Croatia, Italy, Spain and Portugal, Turkey, Egypt and Jordan, which are not really on people's bucket list currently, but we'll be back on soon.
Unfortunately.
So that really the entire Mediterranean region is where we specialize.
Okay. And you grew up in the United States, did you say?
I grew up in Kansas City, Missouri, so I'm a Western girl too, but I spent most of my summers living in Greece. We would go every summer for 3 months, and then in university, I went as a study abroad student, and I never came back, and I raised my kids there, and that's where kind of the second half of my life has been, and now I go back and forth.
That's wonderful. Well, we've got Carrie back with us. Hi, Carrie. We've been having technical problems all afternoon. I'm not quite sure why. It must be the stars. But we were talking about open jaw flights before we lost you there. And Mina explained a little bit about that. But do you do much of that in your work?
Absolutely, we do. And that's, again, using a trusted travel advisor, we have access to different parts of flights than sometimes the general public does on an internet, type-based search engine. So a lot of times, even the airline's websites aren't always so friendly to do, into one city and out of another city, or into one country and out of another country. So we do quite a bit of that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that makes a lot of sense. Now, even if you're in Greece and saying, hey, you know what, we're really close to fill in the blank, can they give you a call and say, could you fix this up for us so we could just, fly over there and come back? Is that something that you can help them with?
Absolutely. Many times people will pair, a trip to Italy with Greece.
Well, that makes total sense. So we were talking about food when we first started the day. Do you have favorite Greek dishes that you have to get every time you go to Greece, Carrie?
I don't know so much if it's necessarily a dish for me. It's more an ambiance for me. You know, one of my very fond memories is with my dear friend, and we're sitting in Crete, and we're just having this lovely lunch, and everyone is so kind and so just explain the dishes and explain the wine. And you, and again, you know, here in the United States, especially here in Wisconsin, everybody's always in a hurry. So it just is so nice to go on vacation and just slow the pace down a little bit. You really come back with a new perspective.
Well, that's a great observation. Mina, have you seen too where people come from the West, basically, where everything is rush, 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 and they get to Greece and they're like, whoa, everything's so slow?
They do, but you know, oftentimes they're coming for holidays, so they're really okay with that slow down pace.
Sure.
But what I do hear most often is the fruits and the vegetables, how the taste is so much more than what they've ever experienced back home.
Well, just talking to Rena earlier with all of the descriptions she had of the herbs and what available, I can understand how that would happen. Are you lucky, say a visitor could come? Are you going to be able to find a decent meal pretty much anywhere you stop, from, you know, the big people to the little?
Yes, even our fast food in Greece is really good. I mean, if you pull up somewhere and just have, you know, a souvlaki or a gyro in a salad, it's going to be so tasty. Mm-hmm. And it's also much healthier than fast food in the U.S.
Well, yeah. is that because it's so fresh, Carrie? Is that why you think that the food is so much better?
So I abide by a gluten-free diet due to allergy. And so going to a place like Greece is just so nice because the vegetables are so fresh and they have so much flavor to them. And you can get the fresh fish. And so you have a really good lunch with no worries about, you know, dietary restrictions in terms of gluten.
Mm-hmm. What about cost, Mina? What kind of prices are we looking at?
You're looking at much lower costs than what you would find typically in the U.S. for dining. I mean, you could have a fantastic meal with wine for, you know, $25, $30 per person. Whereas, you know, when you're in Greece, processed food is very, very expensive. So a box of cereal might cost you $15. So, you know, those fresh ingredients are truly available everywhere, readily available, and the fresh, great food. You know, oftentimes having traveled around Greece with friends who own restaurants in the U.S., they've told me that the costs of the meals are lower than the costs of what they purchase the ingredients for.
Wow. And have you found, Carrie, that it's pretty affordable to travel in Greece?
It really is. And I think that, you know, I was alarmed. I just came back from Europe a couple of weeks ago, and I agreed that the food cost was less, and it's not necessarily maybe that the costs have decreased there. It's that our U.S. costs have increased so much that it just, it actually felt like a deal to travel, which I love.
I'll bet you do. I like that idea too. So as far as booking for Greece, how far out are we right now? Can we still do that for spring, or should we be thinking summer, fall of next year at this point? Mina?
This is a good time to be booking for any time in 2024 at this point, throughout the entire year. So it's not too late. There's still plenty of availability. I think that once we get into kind of February and March, that's when it starts becoming more difficult to get availability in, you know, great hotels in, say, May and June. But typically, if you're looking anywhere from 3 to 6 months out, you're in pretty good shape.
Okay. Do you agree, Carrie?
100%, yes.
Okay. What about other areas that you're booking? Is that pretty much what you're thinking for travel? I know travel's been crazy this last year. Do you expect it to stay the same way for next year?
Summer in Europe was incredibly busy this last year. And so, yes, I do think that, you know, barring world events that are occurring, I do believe that we're seeing a strong continued pace for 2024, which we're all super excited to say.
Wonderful. Well, thank you, ladies, both so much for being with us today and for answering all of my questions. I appreciate that. I'm hoping to get there fairly soon. So thank you again for being with us.
Thank you.
We've been talking with Mina Agnos. She's the founder and group president of Travel Live, and Carrie Mulliken, president of Bon Voyage World Travel Experts in Waterford and Union Grove. Join us again tomorrow for Garden Talk, and we'll be taking a look at ways to extend your growing season. We're also going to talk a little bit about aquaponics. I'm Jill Nadeau, in for Larry Mueller.